How to play music, learn how to repair a television. This is some technical knowledge, to learn how to cook. See, in that area, there's somebody who can help you. But I don't know what exactly you mean when you say, do we need a master?
You had a master?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I rejected them all in the very beginning.
Still when you were young?
Very young, you see. They did not satisfy me. See, the problem is you have to be very clear about your goal. You see, what is it that you want? And when once that is very clear to you, these questions become very irrelevant, whether you need any technique, whether you need to do any sadhana, whether you need any master to help you, whether you want to follow a path, that must be very clear to you. We have all accepted and taken for granted that the goals that the society, culture, whatever you want to call it, has placed before us as worthy, and that they must be pursued. We never question the goals. We never question the human values that the culture has created for us. So that's the reason why we are miserable. You see, we never question the human values. They are false. As far as you are concerned, they are false. And they are not only false, they falsify you and create misery for you. You are wanting to fit yourself into that framework placed before us by culture, society, or you see the religious teachers of our past, present. They have created this misery for us. You see, if you question them, you are also questioning the teachers, masters, or whatever you want to call them. You become very sentimental. They can't be false. They can't be dishonest. You don't question the integrity of them. See? So you take it for granted. And when once you begin to question the values, then you find yourself in a situation where you will have to question the teachers. You see? Maybe they are fooling themselves and fooling you, killing themselves, killing you. They don't operate in your life. You are miserable all the time. That's the cause of your sorrow. Isn't it? So you always blame yourself and pity yourself and condemn yourself because you are forced to fit yourself into that framework, all responsible for the misery of you, the suffering of you. So it takes tremendous guts on your part to question them, and because they don't operate in your lives. Tomorrow you are going to be a kind person. Tomorrow you are going to be a marvelous person. Tomorrow you are going to be full of love. But why not now? Why is it difficult for you to be whatever you want to be today and not tomorrow? See, the time gives you the opportunity to escape from the reality of the situation. We take for granted the answers given to us. But we really don't have any questions. You see, you only have answers. That's all. That is why you are asking the questions. You take for granted that you need a master. What do you need a master?
It's not a very romantic attitude, in the sense that you blame culture and the values of culture.
Everything. It's not romantic, it requires tremendous courage on your part. It requires tremendous courage on your part. You are going to battle it all your life much more than you are doing now, because you have hope somehow they are going to operate in your life, or that you are going to be full of love, that you are going to be full of compassion, that you are going to be this, that and the other tomorrow and not today. So you will never be. So when tomorrow arrives, you push it day after tomorrow, you see, and then you see the fancy idea that you are going to be born again in your next life, and how many lives, God alone knows. There may not be any lives at all. See, even that is a projection of yours. When you come to a point where you find that the situation is so hopeless, you have to invent something, you see, maybe next life. What? Why do you have to wait for your next life? It's not romantic, you see, your unwillingness to look at the things exactly the way they are. So you talk as if the culture is outside of you. You are the product. The culture has created you. The society, or whatever you want to call it, has created you for the main purpose of maintaining its status quo. So you have no way of functioning except through the help of that, you need that. You see, you need those thoughts, you need those ideas, you need those experiences to experience yourself as an entity. This is me, this is what I am, this is what I would like to be. All that is possible only through the help of the knowledge that is given to us. See, without that knowledge, you have no way of experiencing yourself, first of all, let alone experiencing the world around you. So without that knowledge, you cannot survive. So certain amount of knowledge is necessary for us to function in this world. Functional knowledge, that this is a table, and it is cold outside, you see, it is warm outside, you see, the body needs to protect itself. It doesn't need even that knowledge, you see. Automatically, if it is cold, you cover yourself up with a blanket or do something. You don't even have to bother about it. What the temperature is it cold, centigrade, Fahrenheit, all kinds of things. See, you don't need to bother. Automatically, if you feel hungry, you eat something. Then the moment you ask the question, what to eat, you have created the problem. The body doesn't care what you feed that body with. All your ideas, health food, spiritual food, good food, bad food, the body is not interested. If it doesn't want it, it rejects. You know? So that is the beginning of your misery, to think of food, you see, all the time. The body doesn't depend upon, you see, the nutritious food at all. It needs something to have some energy. That energy you can get from sawdust, anything that you eat. The body is selective in its... The animals don't eat anything and everything that is green. They are very selective. That intelligence that is necessary for the survival of this body is already there. You don't have to listen to these health food people, you don't have to listen to all these nutritionists. That's why I say shoot them all on sight. All the nutritionists. They make a big business. You know, you go to any health food store, what do you see there? Only vitamins. Of A, B, C, D, E, F, God knows what, how many letters, you see all the letters. That's all you see there, that's all that they are selling. Nothing else. Polish them with a wax, you see, and then you are fascinated by the shining vegetables. That body has survived millions and millions of years under very adverse conditions and so on. The moment you begin to think, you see, of what is the good food, what is the right food, you have created a problem. This is mental illness, that is a sickness of mind. You are feeding the mind, you are putting ideas in your body, not food. If the body does not want certain kinds of food, it rejects automatically. You don't have to do a thing about it. So you have to be a vegetarian to be spiritual. You have to be a vegetarian to be very non-violent, peaceful. Don't believe all that stuff. You go to India, you will be surprised. They are more violent than the people here. You know, you are reading the newspapers. They are killing people. Good. They are vegetarians are no more peaceful than the meat eaters. I'm not recommending that you should be a non-vegetarian or a vegetarian. It has nothing to do with that at all. You know, though you wear names and then eat ideas. That's all that you do. And somebody else makes money. And the gullibility and the credulity of us all, whether it is a health food store or somebody who is running a holy business or something, some techniques of this, that and the other. That's all that is going on.
But if you had an example of an honest man like...
Not one in this world who tells you what to do is the most dishonest man, you can be certain. The man who tells you what to do is one in whose life those things don't operate.
But
they don't describe, you see, the flower there is there just, you see. It's an expression of it, that's all. It does not tell you that it is beautiful, that you should all be like a beautiful tree or beautiful flowers. Anybody who says that he is more beautiful than others, don't trust that master. I'm sorry. Don't believe that man. It doesn't operate in his life, it is all for somebody else. And he thrives on the gullibility and credulity of the people.
What is the natural function of the mind?
There is no mind there. What is the body?
There is the possibility to formulate words.
Ideas, communicate. What do you
communicate? Indeed, there are ideas. You can communicate.
What do you communicate? This is a table. That's a book. That's a flower. You call it a rose, yellow, white. I don't know what it is. He is a man. She is a woman.
Well, let's call it this great tissue in scientific skull. What's the function?
But they are changing their ideas. Every day they are coming up with new ideas.
Perhaps the natural functioning of the mind that it's...
First of all, the mind is questionable. You see, the mind is the totality of the knowledge that is passed down to us from generation to generation. The experiences of others. So the thoughts of others. You don't have anything which you can call your own. No thoughts which you can call your own. No ideas which you can call your own. No experiences which you can call your own. Because you cannot experience anything without the help of the knowledge that is given to us. So it is everybody's experience. What is so marvelous about that?
Not marvelous, I was asking simply what was the function of the great tissue inside your skull?
Tissue?
Yeah, the tissue. So, yeah. Like the tissue inside of your...
That tissue is not interested in your health food, not interested in your spiritual values, not interested in your masters, not interested in gurus, not interested in enlightenment, not interested in happiness, not interested in permanent pleasure, not interested in permanent happiness.
They are interested in life.
The knowledge that is given to us is the one that is responsible for all the problems. That you should be happy, that you should have permanent pleasure. That's what everybody wants everywhere in the world. Permanent pleasure, permanent happiness. The permanent pleasure destroys the sensitivity of the body. So those people who have invented God, enlightenment, you see, self-realization, God-realization, they have placed before you the idea that you are going to have some permanent pleasure. See, that is the ultimate pleasure. In other words, that's the ultimate pain. You can experience anything you want. Whether you have created, invented, or somebody else has invented and passed on to you, it really doesn't matter. Even the idea that you see the IQ and the whole thing is, we really don't know what it is, you see, the neurons. See, after all, the whole thing is memory. What is memory? How does it operate? What part do these neurons play in your memory? What are you? You are, after all, a memory. Man is a memory that tells you that you are intelligent, that you are not intelligent, that you are happy, that you are not happy, that you are enlightened, that you are not enlightened, that you are healthy, not healthy. It is only the memory that is telling you, the knowledge that is passed on to you. So you are nothing but that knowledge. So you do not want that knowledge to come to you. That is the only death, there is no other death. Body has no way of experiencing its own death. It doesn't even know that it is healthy or not healthy. The pain, you see, is there for the body, but you see, the moment you separate yourself from that pain, and talk of that pain, as something which must be, you see, freed from, you have created the problem for you. Give some medicine, and kill the pain if you can, otherwise it's too bad.
Is the pain for the body indeed?
It does not know that it is painful. No. So the body has no pain. Discomfort it has. So it does not translate that discomfort in terms of your likes and dislikes, in terms of healthy and not healthy body. Aging. It has no way of knowing that it is aging. It is becoming weaker, no doubt. It's wearing out. So you are 25, 35, 45, 70, what does it mean? The sight is failing, the hearing is failing, you see, you cannot run the way you did 30, 40 years ago, you cannot do the things which you did before. So you have to tell yourself that the age is catching up. You see, that's a mode of expression. If I say that the age is catching up, this jet travel, you see, you know, jet lag, it disturbs the chemistry of the body, it disturbs the rhythm of the body, it disturbs the clock of the body, you see, so there it is. Why,
that's why you are traveling so much.
Don't ask me. I'm not traveling because I have a mission or to save you people here. I'm not here.
That's not
to help you or to liberate you or to save you. You can be certain. Nothing to be freed from, nothing to be saved from. See, you have been brainwashed to believe, you see, that you should be free from selfishness, you should be free from greed, you should be free from jealousy, you should be free from envy, and you should be free from this, that, and that. But it does not occur to you for one moment that what you have to be free from is not the selfishness, not the greed, not the envy, not the jealousy, but you are wanting to be free from greed. You see, the society has placed before you the idea that you should be free from jealousy, that you should be free from envy. And so you are moving in the direction, one day you are going to be free from. Until then, you see, you are jealous, you are greedy, you are selfish. When you are going to be selfless. You see, this selfishness that you are talking about is related to your wanting to be free from selfishness. See? So what you have to be free from is not selfishness, the demand to be selfless. That is what the society has done to us. The demand to be enlightened. The demand to be free. Free, the very demand to be free must go. You are hungry, you see, you want to be free from hunger. You see, you don't have money, you have to have money. You see, those things are understandable. But the very demand to be free from anything and everything. So that's not what you are interested in. You see, you know, these are be free from greed. What the hell? You see, the greed is in operation here. It does not for a moment occur to him. You see, that he wants something, he thinks that I have, he doesn't have. So he wants that. That is why he is here, sitting here, listening, hoping one day through some miracle or through my help, he is going to be free from greed. When the hell is he going to be free from greed? I want to know, because it is an operation here. You don't consider that greed. You see, wanting somebody else's money, wanting somebody else's property is greed. And wanting to run away, you see, with your best friend's husband or best friend's beautiful wife, you see, that is what you are concerned about it. But this is an operation here. So how and when he is going to understand anything about greed? He will never be free from greed. So whether it is related, you see, to the money or the beautiful neighbor's wife, husband, as the case may be, or somebody else has beautiful cars and you don't have. It is not that, you see, it is an operation here. How are you going to understand that? When are you going to be free from that? If you are not going to be free from that, now when it is an operation, you will never be free from that. Not for a moment I am suggesting that you should be free from greed, that you should be free from selfishness or any such thing. It is that demand to be selfless is the one that has turned you into a selfish person. If that goes, this also goes. So you don't want to be free from selfishness. You don't want to be free from fear. So what you have to be free from, you see, that is the very thing you have to be free from. Not, you see, go to some therapist, not do some meditation, not do some japa to be free from fear. All that is perpetuating the fear. You see, but you don't want to be free from fear. The end of the fear is the death. Not the psychological death, not some marvelous, romantic, you see, poetic death, dying to your yesterdays. If the fear stops there, the physical death takes place there in this moment. You will drop dead, physically. That's the reason why you don't want to be free from fear at all. So how to be free from is all that you are interested in. And all these therapies, look at your fear, be aware of your fear, choiceless fear. How can you separate yourself from fear and look at it? How can you separate yourself from greed and look at it? See, let alone trying to be free from that. It is just not possible. If somebody says that it is possible, I have succeeded in freeing myself from greed, I am an enlightened man, go there, good luck, thank you. There's no use of my telling you, you are not going to be enlightened by that help. He is not. Anybody who says he is a free man, you can be certain he is a fool. Because he has no way of knowing that he is a free man at all. So he cannot free you. If anybody says that I am going to free you, you can be sure that he is not. He can sell, he may be a very beautiful speaker, he's a marvelous fellow. You know, he has everything there. Clever, cunning, crafty fellows, they are all. They're very good business people, they sell. You know, if we can buy the things that they are selling on the television, then you can buy anything.
You know, how far is disillusion, sloth, SID, or well, disillusion is called empathy, and how far is that state or kind of state desirable, preferable?
What do you mean with verbal? I don't understand. The question is,
if you are disillusioned.
You can't be disillusioned. There's no way.
A lot of people very much
disillusioned. Don't trust them. They replace one illusion with another illusion. That they are gods, that they are enlightened people, that's another illusion they have. If you want to believe, you see, we have believed in Jesus for 2,000 years. If you want to believe, believe. You see, that's a different matter, see. Because you don't want, you have to replace one belief with another belief. One idea with another idea. With one church with another church. You see, why do you want all these Hindus to come and take the place of Jesus? What is it that Christianity cannot offer you? Why do you have to go there? Like the dress you get from boutique, from Indonesia, from India. It becomes a fancy stuff, you see, to wear clothes every 2 months. You wear China Day, India Day, Japan Day. Like that, you see, in Indian songs, Indian music, Indian dress, Indian mantras. Well, what for? You have wonderful hymns there in the church. What is it that you can get from Hinduism or any other religion or any enlightened man that you can't get from your Christianity? I remember a woman saying that you should go back to this, back to Christianity. If that is what you are interested in, they have evolved their own fantasies there in the West, you see, and their own techniques. You are looking for a new priest and a new church and a new Bible. That's all. Whatever you touch, you will turn them into a new church, new Bible, and a new priest. Because you can't be free from them. You can't be free from belief. You can only replace one belief with another belief. Because you think as if belief and you are two separate things. You are not. What you are is belief. So if belief comes out, what you are is an illusion. You see, one illusion, you see, comes to an end. Yet that's the end of it, you see. If you are finished with one, you are finished with them all. You will never go anywhere, you will never see any future, you will never touch any religion. Not that you become an atheist or... See, once you are finished with one, you are finished with all. This is the Japanese technique, this is Jewish technique, Chinese technique, Hindu technique, there are hundreds and thousands of varieties of meditations. You see, you know, if you see one and why you are meditating, what do you want to meditate, what is it that you want out of this meditation, if you understand that, you see, what a constant battle that is going on there to have a peace of mind. You are destroying the peace of mind that is already, it's a battle. So what you experience there is the peace between the two wars. We don't have peace now. Peace, what we have, so-called peace in this world, is the peace between two wars. You see? So like that, you see, you have a temporary reprieve for some time. You think it's a state of mind, you see, which is very peaceful. But that's a drug, you want it again, you have to go back to that again and again and again and again and again. And if that doesn't work, you need a... Never. You see, you want to be selfless, but you are all the time This is strengthening the very thing you want to be free from. Concerned about selfishness all the time. But not that, because that doesn't exist at all. All your life you see you waste thinking about these things. What a tremendous amount of energy is wasted. So when you are confronted with the problems of life, you don't have the energy to deal with them. You just don't have the energy. How to, that's all that these people are telling you. How to solve a problem. You are only concerned about the solutions, not the problem. They are not the solutions. If they are the solutions, they should work. You see, if there is no solution, there are certain problems for which you don't have any solution. It's very difficult. It's created by others and not by you. So what do you do? Then, even then it ceases to be a problem for you. Because that is not the solution. If that is the solution, it has to. Not tomorrow, not the day after, not even your next day. So you're only interested in how to solve it. What the problem? What is the problem? How is the problem? He says, this is how I have solved the problem. Don't trust yourself. If he has solved the problem, he would never recommend it to you. And he makes money out of it. See? Buys 99 rolls. Try and buy one car. Forget about
it. A guy like Ramana Maharshi never asked money, was quietly and equanimity.
Now you,
he looks sincere. I did think.
Now you go there, to that ashram. You can't even enter unless you pay the money. He's dead and gone, finished. You see, the others make a business out of that.
The only thing you can do is self-observation.
Hmm?
The only thing you can do is self-observation.
Can you do that? Have you ever,
no, I don't.
Have you ever tried it honestly?
It's hard.
Have you tried it? No matter what others say, psychologists, religious people, you see, all of them tell you all kinds of stuff. Have you really, honestly tried it? You will be surprised that there is nothing there to observe. What you are left with is the observer who is telling you observe. See, that is the observer that has created the thing there. You see, the mind, the consciousness, people talk about it. There is no such thing as consciousness at all. Subconscious, unconscious, disconscious, consciousness, expanding consciousness, all that guff, absolute rubbish. Because if you are interested in finding out, you will be surprised that there is no such thing as consciousness at all, and it can't be experienced by you. You can define the knowledge. You become conscious of things only through the help of that knowledge. You become conscious of this, you become conscious of yourself, that you are an entity, that you are a person, that you are happy, that you are miserable, that you are this, that and the other, only through the help of the knowledge that is given to us. Otherwise you have no way of experiencing anything called consciousness.
What about people who are in contact with angels and everything? Well, let me finish. But then, you know, they really know, and you see it out of their eyes, and they have messages, and they have forefathers before the windows, and they know things, and they can give you a kind of clue and so on. But I met such a one.
You met one?
Yes.
Where?
In my place.
Yes.
And
so
he's really, you know, he's not talking out of himself.
Yes.
He knows, I don't know from where.
Yeah, you can talk to the angels there.
But there are so many people who have it.
But don't bother about so many people. So many. You are important, not others. You talk about yourself.
Yeah, but tell me something about
you. Tell me something about yourself.
I would like to have that.
Which one?
I would like to have
it. He doesn't have it. I tell you, he doesn't have it. He's just kidding you.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, if he has it, you must also have it. He's not something special. Whatever I have, you have. See, that's all. The only difference between you and me is you want to have that which you think I have. The thought that I am different from you never enters my head. Only if you ask me the question, are you not different? Yes, the knowledge that tells me that I am a man and not a woman. You see that you are a woman and all that. You see, the knowledge tells me that. You see, that's all that is there.
They say the power is going through me. You know, they're not enlightened, but they just they're not important themselves.
That power.
They can heal. They can see.
No. Then, if that power is passing through them, The very same power is there in you too.
Yes, but they know it.
They know. If they know, they don't know at all. This is something which nobody can know. Nobody can know anything about life. Nobody.
How
if he says that I know about the life, just tell him.
How can they be so sure?
They see, the politician tells you so many things. You see, the psychologists, bastards, you see, they talk as if, you see, they have solved all these problems. The biggest fraud that the world produced, Freud. He falsified the case histories and falsified the whole thing. 100 years it has lasted. It does not mean that there is anything to it. Go to any psychiatrist, they will tell you. Now he has to depend upon the drugs. There's no other way. He talks and talks and talks. I know, he says. Don't trust the man who says I know. He knows mathematics.